Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
This is a fabulous Wednesday morning across the country. Yes, that is DJ Khaled bringing us back with Win. If you haven't heard that song before, that is what the Republicans did all over the country. The woke agenda is in tatters. Minneapolis votes down by a monster margin. Defund the police. Glenn Youngkin absolutely dominates. 10 months a year after Virginia was not a competitive state in 2020, we have an absolute beatdown delivered by Glenn Youngkin to Terry McAuliffe. Right now in New Jersey, which Joe Biden won by 16 points in 2020. Right now in New Jersey, there is a race that is so close to call, it is going to come down to a few thousand votes one way or the other. The Democrats are in shock. They are curled up in the fetal position. Joe Biden might still be sleeping after returning from Glasgow. He does not have a single public event on his schedule today. Buck, yesterday evening, I spoke at the Moms for Liberty event. I was giving them updates on the Virginia race, and we talked about it on this show going back to August. I said the mom revolution was real, and if you go look at the exit polling, moms swung by around 15 points. Women, mothers, took over and said no more to the Democrat woke agenda. It was a stellar night. And by the way, one more shot at the woke agenda. How about the Atlanta Braves when they got the Major League Baseball All-Star game pulled out of Atlanta? They won the World Series last night, and Rob Manfred, the feckless loser, pathetic commissioner, had to present the trophy to the Atlanta Braves for winning the World Series in a year when he wouldn't allow them to host the All-Star game. Buck, the woke agenda is gone up in flames, and it was glorious to see.
Turns out that Virginia moms don't like it when they're being told their kids belong to slovenly bureaucrats of the education apparatus and not their actual families. And that anybody who's got a problem with that might get a visit from Merrick Garland's goons. Turns out Yes. That's not a winning strategy for Democrats in the state of Virginia. Also want to give a big congrats to the new lieutenant governor in the state of Virginia, Winsome Sears. She's got a photo, Clay, going around where she's standing there. She's holding an AR, and she's a former Marine.
Yes.
And she's got an amazing story. Parents came here from Jamaica. She's the first black American female to hold statewide office, African American female to hold statewide office in Virginia. And it's incredible. I mean, the enthusiasm behind that win is enormous, behind the Youngkin win. I mean, this guy was supposed, I talked to people in Virginia early on about this. This guy was supposed to lose handily to Terry McAuliffe. But again, the education issue, Democrats were wrong-footed on this. They don't understand how things have changed now that parents are more engaged and now that they've been exposed to so much because of, remember, it's not just the Zoom lessons. It's often two parents at home for months and months of the Zoom lessons.
Yes.
So what the Democrat pitch was here was the old school educators know what's best. Education bureaucrats are handling your kids. Shut up. There is no CRT, comma. But if you think there's CRT and it's bad, you're a racist. I hope the Democrats try to run that as their playbook in every race, in every electoral contest going into these midterms, because they got shellacked over this, absolutely crushed and annihilated. I will say we also called it here.
We did. And we should point out, in addition to winning the governor's race in Virginia and winning the lieutenant governor's race in Virginia, the Republicans also won the attorney general's race and looks good about taking back over the legislature, as well as there are still, I believe, several pending races to be determined there. But already, for the first time since 2009, Republicans have not just won a statewide office, They swept all three statewide elections. And they did it, by the way, despite the fact, as you point out, that the Democrats, it appears, are going to double down on their everything is racist theory. They did it with a black female lieutenant governor and a Hispanic attorney general, in addition to Glenn Youngkin. Look, we don't vote on people based on what they look like, but I think it does demonstrate to a large extent the amount of appeal that the Republican message has, not only for white voters, but for black voters, for Hispanic voters, for Asian voters, for people who believe in individual excellence and the American dream. You have to support the Republican Party.
In Virginia specifically, and obviously there also is there's a new mayor in New York City. That's going to be less consequential, but he's a Democrat, but it's something that's worth noting. We'll talk about, I think, where that's going to go for America's biggest city. Because again, Clay, on the woke agenda, not a defund the police guy realizes yes. that is a suicide pact for any major
city. And a pro-business guy, Buck. Yeah. He said one of the first things he's going to do as mayor is try to get on a plane, go down to Florida, and convince people who've abandoned the city to come back. He understands what the impact is of business.
Yes, he can be much better than de Blasio with very little effort, which will have a real impact, I think. And people will see when you do one thing, you get one set of results. When you take a different approach, when you decide that social justice should not be the sole guiding star, if you will, for everything you're doing in a policy world, then things can get much better in the city. But the education issue was central. I mean, you had a lot of moms in Virginia, a lot of moms who came out. And by the way, dads too, parents, right? Concerned parents. I think that's the best way to describe it. Or if you're a Democrat, terrorists and insurrectionists. So they should stick with that. I hope.
Yes.
They keep calling, you know, kind taxpayers who have, you know, stable families that are showing up that want the best for their children, insurrectionists and domestic terrorists, and Merrick Garland sends them more scary notes because the Democrat Party will head toward annihilation if it does that. That was a big part of this last night, but it's also a reminder with someone like Glenn Youngkin, if you just go out and you speak to the people you want to have voting for you, you find out what their actual concerns are, and then you come up with reasonable ways to address them, you can actually make a lot of gains. You won't convince the double-masked, Fauciite, Biden-loving, woke brigade, right? But you don't have to. We don't need them, right? We need the folks, the kind of folks that came out last night in Virginia, who clearly either switched or didn't come out in, remember, the election was a year ago, right? It's not even like we waited 2 years for this result. That's what we need.
And it was also nationwide. We talked about Minneapolis, even in New York City, as you mentioned, Eric Adams much better than de Blasio, even though that's for the Democrats. Buck, I don't know how much attention this is going to get, but in Seattle, which is not exactly known as a bastion of Republicanism, a Law and Order candidate, Ann Davison, beat the Democrat to become the next Seattle city attorney. She is the first, according to this story, the first Republican elected in Seattle since 1989. The summer of love that they were trying to have in Seattle, Chaz and all that madness. This was something that was happening all over the country in terms of its overall impact in the way that people revolted. She got 59% of the vote. And 41% for the challenger. So this is a big move in the city of Seattle, pointing to the defeat of the woke agenda from coast to coast.
You know, Irvin Kristol's a liberal is someone who's been, or rather a conservative is a liberal who's been mugged by reality, right? You know, this is what you're seeing in major cities is that people are actually not being mugged by reality. They're being mugged. And it's very tough to support, you know, end mass incarceration, defund the police, social justice lunacy when your store windows are being smashed and your grandparents are being attacked and having things stolen from them on the way home, or your store is being ransacked by people stealing from you. The left was able to get away with a narrative that pushed for this for a while, and people have seen enough is enough. They have tasted the consequences, if you will, of the kind of virtue signaling, social justice obsession that the left has, and they realize it's bad. This doesn't actually work in practice. You know, this is, we have to go through these cycles, it seems. Undermining your police force, deciding that, that we're going to teach divisive, really racial Marxism in schools. There's no good places that this takes you. And I think there was another thing on the education point, Clay, with Youngkin. It was, there was a sneering condescension, even from Terry McAuliffe himself on this. I mean, remember that line when he said, you know, I don't think parents should be telling schools what to teach.
Yes.
All of a sudden, the parents were like, actually, it's our tax dollars. And we, because liberals have convinced themselves. Sorry, a little hoarse today. Liberals have convinced themselves that I was so excited last night. Shouting as the returns came in that we don't want, meaning conservatives and conservative parents don't want kids learning algebra. This is how condescending and sneering they are. That's not what anyone showing up at these school board meetings angry about. They're angry about actual pornography making its way into the curricula. They're angry about Ibram X. Kendi racial Marxism being taught to people, you know, about white fragility being forced into the minds of 9-year-olds.
That's
why they're angry.
True.
And they won't even deal with that reality. They can't decide if it's not something that's happening or it is happening and you're racist if you don't like it. And that
they're
is just too much.
They're captured by the woke cult.
Yep.
They aren't able to stand up to the people that have taken over their party. And this came through, you know, Jemele Hill, who used to be at ESPN and said that Trump was a white supremacist. That's the only key she has. She keeps hitting the white supremacy key. And she claimed that the reason why Republicans won in Virginia was because of white supremacy. And then there was an awesome meme showing the current governor of Virginia dressed up in blackface next to the elected lieutenant governor holding an AR and said, oh, you know what? Maybe your racial dynamics are a little bit out of whack here. And I think I'm fascinated to see what the Manchins of the world, the moderates of the Democratic Party, they should be massively emboldened by this. I'm curious what the impact is going to be going forward of this walloping, of this ass kicking. I got to give credit to people in Virginia. We said, Buck, don't let it be close enough where Terry McAuliffe can employ his attorneys, where the Democrats can go searching for every ballot. The analogy I made was don't let the officials determine this election. And in Virginia, people showed up, they voted, and they won so convincingly that Terry McAuliffe had to concede something, by the way, that the patron saint of the left, Stacey Abrams, still has not managed to do in the state of Georgia after the 2018 election.
We got a lot more to talk about here. There's obviously a very close race between Murphy and Ciattarelli. I think I'm saying it right. Not an easy one.
I was going to ask you how to pronounce that name.
I'm pretty good with the Italian names usually because I'm a New Yorker. But that one's, you know, because also you get the Americanized Italian names and then it gets, you know, it gets all difficult. But there's a really close race in New Jersey still to be determined. We're going to be joined by Senator Marco Rubio later this hour. We've had a lot of talk about Florida recently. We had Governor Ron DeSantis on. You know, the Florida Freedom Miracle continues to be a shining light for this country. So, Clay and I have a stacked show for you. But if you're in Virginia or if you just want to share some thoughts on this race last night, if you're feeling good, you're doing a little bit of a victory dance, you can call in 800-282-2882. A good day for America. Bad day for Democrats. Good day for America. Those often go side by side. And we'll get into it in just a moment with you. More of that coming up. One of the smarter actions I've taken this year is purchasing gold. I did so earlier this year for the first time with the Oxford Gold Group. They not only helped me purchase gold, but also helped me take delivery of it. Holding gold in my hands, I'll tell you, it's one of the most unique sensations you can have. I mean, it's a precious metal. It has been for ages, right? It's a commodity that people really value. And on top of that, it serves as a great protection of your wealth in both your savings account and your IRA account. If you think buying real gold is complicated, it's not. Start by calling my friends at the Oxford Gold Group. That's who you need to call. They'll explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA, it's just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
In Virginia will in large part determine what happens in 2022, 2024, and on.
That is Vice President Kamala Harris. For once, I hope she's right. I believe we are joined now by Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. Senator, this is probably one of the times that you hope Kamala Harris is right, too, in the wake of what we saw happen in Virginia, don't you?
Yeah, no, I think she is right, and I'm glad she was so prescient about it. And you know, look, it's not that I think one election, it's not that people, for example, in Florida are going to vote a certain way because people in Virginia voted a certain way. That's not the point. I mean, the point is, I think it's pretty indicative of how far removed from reality the people right now in charge of the federal government are. If you think about what they're thinking this morning, and I haven't watched a lot of it, but just hearing and reading a little bit this morning, there is a group over there on the left that actually thinks that the reason why they lost this election is because they haven't done more of what they're threatening or want to do. That in essence, if these things happened, if what they want became law, people would benefit from it and they would be happy and they would reward them next November. They still don't get that people know exactly what they're trying to do, are against it, and it's the reason why they're rejecting it. The way I view it is, for 364 days a year, the people that run our corporate America, the people that run the media, the commentators, and a lot of the people in charge of government, they tell us what we can think, they tell us what we can do, they tell us what we're allowed to say, but there's one day a year called Election Day where the rest of us tell them how crazy they are, and that's what yesterday was about.
Hey, Senator Rubio, it's Buck. I wanted to know what you think about the calculations that may be made now, more broadly by your Senate Democrat colleagues, but specifically by Manchin and Sinema after what they saw last night. It feels as though we've been living in an upside down country for a while here, where a very narrow margin, 50-50 Senate, a very narrow margin in the House, somehow justified in Democrats' minds a massive multi-trillion dollar additional spending package that they say is going to be, you know, a game changer. What do you think happens now from the perspective of the Democrat holdouts in the Senate who haven't gone along? I mean, is their position strengthened? What happens to the Biden Build Back Better agenda is what I'm really asking.
Well, I think they point to what happened yesterday as an example of why they're right and why this overreach is going to cost them even more seats. And I think they make that argument now from a political standpoint. I don't think that changes the true believers, the squad and the people like that, because these people at the end of the day often come from districts and or states where, you know, they're not going to lose, and they're pushing this radical agenda. But the broader point is the one you made at the outset, and that is somehow people with a 50-50 Senate, you know, 3 or 4 vote majority in the House and the slimmest of margins that have Joe Biden living in the White House somehow think that was a mandate to radically remake the country, that people put them there to take us this far left. That's not what he campaigned on. There's a reason why he didn't campaign on the agenda. You know, candidate Biden and President Biden are two different people. And what Biden campaigned on is not how he's governing. And, you know, but somehow they think that they have this mandate to do these radical things, and people are going to start pushing back, and they've already starting yesterday.
Senator Rubio, what time frame do you think we work through now? As you're sitting up there in the Senate, there had been talk certainly of the October 31st deadline for infrastructure and also for the Biden budget. Is this something that happens before Thanksgiving now in your mind, where they give votes? Do we push it to the end of the year?
Yeah,
how do you assess the timeline and how much control do Republicans have, if at all, over this?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't have very much insight and or control over it, because they're planning to do it without us. So really, there's an audience of 2 or 3 that they're focused on in the Senate and in the House, a few more. But this proves our point, right? The infrastructure bill, I voted against it for this precise reason, and that is it is a hostage. It is the hostage that's now being held. And what they're saying to everybody is, if you want this bill that a bunch of you guys agreed on, I didn't, but you guys agreed on, then you have to give us this other thing that only we agree on. And that's the hostage they've taken. Now, whether they decide to release that hostage, I don't know. It sounds like they're trying to figure out a way to do that so that Biden can at least get something done and claim credit for something or an achievement on something. But I don't know. On the broader point, you know, on the spending, let me be clear about reconciliation. It gives me no comfort that they're going to whittle it down from 2.5 or 3.5 to 1.75 trillion. It's still a socialist expansion of the government. If you put the government in charge of pre-K in America, it doesn't matter if you authorize it for 2 years or 5. You put the government in charge of pre-K in America, and then you're going to tell pre-Ks what they can teach, who they can hire, and who's allowed to provide it. That's the power they really care about. It's not the money. They care about controlling these things. It's the last piece of education in this country they don't control.
We're speaking to Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. And Senator, my understanding is that the anti-regime resistance in Cuba is planning to become active again. There's nationwide protests that are expected in a couple of weeks. This got on the radar here in the U.S. a few months back, where it seemed that there was real pressure, unprecedented pressure on the regime from inside of Cuba. I want to know what you could tell us, as somebody who understands this and follows it closely at the foreign relations level, about the fight for freedom from inside of Cuba. And then, of course, what is the Biden administration doing on this? Where is the Biden administration on this issue?
Well, on the second part, they're doing nothing on it at all. And in some ways, it's good because they haven't reversed the Trump policies because they make sense. In some ways, it's bad because that the people in charge of the Cuba portfolio inside of this administration are the same ones that were in favor of the Obama deal with Cuba that was a disaster. But my sense of it is that they don't give it much priority, and to the extent they give it attention, it's handed off to lower level people in the administration and at the State Department that are friendly with the regime, including the lady that now is in charge of Cuba at the State Department was in charge of putting together congressional trips to Cuba to hang out with the regime officials and so forth. On the first point, this effort to do this march on November 11th, look, inside of Cuba, it's not easy, right? I mean, there are people that are still locked up in arbitrary detention, 3 months after what happened in July. They're pretty brutal about it. They crack down pretty hard. They're pretty good at repression, unfortunately. So we're encouraging and asking people to do something that I admit right now is easy to say from the outside, but it's not easy to do from the inside. But I think there's this realization by younger Cubans that another generation is going to be lost to this, that their only choices are going to be to get out of the country or live the rest of their life languishing in the system that doesn't work. It doesn't work socially, culturally, morally, or economically for them. And I think that's being expressed, and it continues to put pressure on a regime that's willing to kill and jail its own people to stay in power.
Senator Rubio, speaking of foreign affairs, I'm not sure if you've seen Enes Kanter. He's a Boston Celtic player speaking out against Chinese dictatorships. He said something interesting yesterday, and we talked about this a little bit on the show as well. We're right now scheduled, the world is, to be in Beijing for the Winter Olympics in February. Given all that has happened with COVID, the lies that China has propagated, should we and other democratic countries like America be going to China and allowing them to host the Winter Olympics in February of next year?
Well, let me say two things. First of all, I'm not generally in favor of boycotting because it hurts the athletes that have trained hard all these years to be prepared to go. That said, I think we have to look very carefully at the conditions that are being placed for people that are going. So right now, they've violated all kinds of Olympic rules. They're not allowing athletes to come in early and acclimate as you're supposed to do. We don't know. I imagine they're putting severe. I want to see how the American media covers the Winter Olympics, because how can you be in China and not cover the fact that these abuses are going on there? And it seems like the Chinese authorities are going to try to constrain and keep everybody in this locked up area where they can't go outside. And it'll be interesting to see. What I'm going to really be watching is how do the outlets that are covering the Olympics and the journalists who are sent there to cover the Olympics, how do they cover it? I mean, are they going to actually write things and put things out there that are going to be clear and brutally honest about not just the conditions in the Olympic villages and the conditions but the conditions in the country that happened to host them? Or are we going to allow the sort of paid infomercial where the Chinese can sort of brag about all the advances they've made and ignore all the negative stuff they've done? That's something to bear watching. I want to see how this is covered and whether these outlets and these sponsors pull their punches because they're interested in access and ratings and not so much in being journalists or telling the truth or being on the side of what's right.
Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, sir, appreciate you being with us here on the Clay and Buck Show. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Thank you, guys.
So, Clay, I want to know if, just taking us back around here, because we're going to come into the latest on the elections. There's actually an update out of Virginia. More good news for Republicans.
Love it.
I love all the good news. Sometimes we have to come in here and say Fauci is ruining the world. And today we get to do a little victory dance, and that's a fun thing. Good news, more good news out of Virginia. I'll tell you what as we come back. I'm also wondering if folks in our audience across the country are looking at what happened in Virginia and saying, oh, I'm going to get more involved at school board meetings. I'm going to actually join I feel like we're leaving the dads out here, but the mom revolution.
It is the mom revolution. They're the ones who swung a big difference in terms of how they voted in 2020.
That's right. Well, we'll talk about the suburban female vote in this Virginia election was the big game changer. We'll come into all that in just a moment. But are you going to change things up? Are you going to get more involved? 800-282-2882. You see how powerful it can be. We'll come to that in a minute. You're spending too much money on gas and food, and what you need to do is take care of your family. So don't overpay for cell service. Switch to Pure Talk Cellular. They're on the exact same 5G network using the same towers as one of the big three carriers, but you're paying a heck of a lot less for it. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, you're paying too much each month. And how much can you save? $50 or $60 a month. And if you're paying for a family plan, you could save as much as, get this, $800 a year. And switching is so easy. You can keep your number and your phone, which is really important. Clay, I know you've got this hooked up with your family. Your kids have Pure Talk. They love it.
We do, in fact, love it. My son's got an iPhone 12. He's got unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network for just $30 a month. If you want unlimited data, you can still save a ton of money each month as well. Claire in New York's perfect example. She got a new iPhone from Pure Talk, kept her same phone number, got a new SIM card, and saved herself a bundle every month. That's why Pure Talk's the top-rated wireless company as measured by Consumer Affairs. Their customer service is also right here in the good old USA. They have a 30-day risk-free guarantee, Pure Talk does, so you literally have nothing to lose. From your cell phone right now, dial #250 and say Pure Talk, and you'll save 50% off your first month and more on a new phone. That's #250. Say Pure Talk. Some restrictions apply. Call for detail. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Love everything about the flailing uncertainty that is going on as Democrats try to come to grips with the ass-kicking that they took in Virginia last night, and also the walloping that they took all over the country to fund the police goes down in Minneapolis. Republican elected in the city of Seattle for the first time since 1989 to be involved as a city attorney. You've got all different left-wing woke universe activists taking it absolutely on the chin. And it feels, at least so far, like Democrats are going to double down on a failed strategy that put them in this place to begin with. The woke revolution is going to devour its own. And this is pretty wild, but Joy Reid now is trying to argue on MSNBC that Republicans who voted for Glenn Youngkin and a black woman for lieutenant governor, and a Hispanic man for the attorney general, that they are dangerous insurrectionists. This is what she said in reaction to the results coming out.
You know what? For Democrats to really fight that, they would have to be willing to say what you have said on your show. I think we've all said a version of it. You have to be willing to vocalize that these Republicans are dangerous, that this isn't a party that's just another political party that disagrees with us on tax policy, that at this point, they're dangerous. They're dangerous to our national security, because stoking that kind of soft white nationalism eventually leads to the hardcore stuff. It leads to the January 6th stuff, because if people are tolerant of it in your party, they're tolerant of the soft racism. Mm. It's a really short trip to get to the January 6th insurrectionist place.
I mean, they don't. If you're a parent who doesn't want your 8-year-old learning white fragility, Clay, you're an insurrectionist terrorist who should probably be locked up in solitary confinement indefinitely. I'm glad Joy Reid's message for the Democrat Party. I hope they all take this on board. It'll be a great midterm.
I am usually an ass kicking is crystallizing, because I always think about it in the sports context. If your team gets wrecked and you ran the game plan that you wanted to run, maybe a sign that your game plan wasn't right. Democrats got wrecked last night, and their theory is we got to stick with the same game plan, just run it harder. Please do that. In the meantime, Relief Factor has helped so many members of this audience with pain relief. They have gotten 100% drug-free product. Goes after joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Made by doctors based on scientific research, Relief Factor helps your body reduce pain and inflammation associated with aging, exercise, and everyday living. Relief Factor goes right to the source of inflammation. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered it, and 70% of them go on to order more. You can join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com. Or call 800-4-RELIEF, 1995, 3-week quick start. Develop for you, relieffactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, feel the difference.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We will be taking some calls later this hour and later next hour. If you want to check in with us, tell us what you think about Virginia, the woke agenda. Are you going to show up at school board meetings, knowing that this could have a real impact on, well, for, of course, your children's education, but also on local politics? And that starts, it all starts from the ground up, friends. 800-282-2882. We are not losing sight, of course, while these big, big numbers come in about the elections last night, and a great night for the Republican Party. And congrats to Glenn Youngkin and others who had a fantastic showing. We're not losing sight of another story that is really just becoming indefensible for Democrats, and that is the wide open southern border. We're talking right now about schools, but immigration, illegal immigration, is a place where Democrats will be very vulnerable in the midterm elections. We all know it. We've got our friend Congressman Andy Biggs with us now to talk about that and more. He's from Arizona, of course. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate
First,
it.
I want to get you with updates on the border, the 450,000 per family base or per individual within a family that's separated at the border under Trump, all those big immigration stories. But we do have to just have you tell us, you know, your biggest takeaway from last night, and also where does it actually impact with and affect how the Congress is going to go from here on out into the midterms?
Well, it was I thought it was a pretty big bellwether election, to be honest with you. I think so. It tells us directionally. I think as important as Youngkin was, the down ballot in Virginia was also important because it changed the governing structure in Virginia. But also, I was intrigued and haven't heard the outcome fully of the New Jersey election. I think. We were looking at, I think that's some like 12-20% in favor of Murphy, but it's so much closer than that, at least right now, anyway, as far as I know. So the real question is, what will Democrats do? And in my opinion, they're going to double down. They're not going to take a lesson, say maybe we should de-ratify it, if that's a word, but be
radicalize. Less, yeah, de-radicalize.
Yeah, de-radicalize. There we go. They want to be less radical. And I don't think that they do. And I think that very strongly, and the impressions I'm getting from this morning's hearings I've been at and talking around, they're dug in there, and they're going to double down.
You, thanks for coming on with us, Representative Biggs. You've known Kyrsten Sinema for a while, I would imagine. She is one of the major, I would say, the voices of sanity, at least to some extent, in the Democratic Party right now. What do you think her reaction is going to be, if at all, to this election? And what sort of expectations do you have for her as it comes to her response to Joe Biden's budget plan?
I would suspect that you're going to have Kyrsten and Joe Manchin are going to basically they're in a stronger position today than they were 48 hours ago, and they're going to say, "Look, we're willing to give you something on that infrastructure package, but we're not going to go for that budget reconciliation package, that spending package." I that's what I think is going to happen, and based on what I'm hearing from the progressives over in the House, they're dug in on they still have to get that massive spending reconciliation package in order to support the transportation infrastructure package. And nobody wants the Republicans' alternatives because they're much they're all paid for and they're they don't have the goofy policies attached to them. I think Kyrsten and Manchin kind of hang on because they're put in a stronger position today than they were earlier.
We're speaking to Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona. Congressman Biggs, you are a representative from a major border state, and we all know the southern border because people on the show are hearing us talk about it day in and day out. Southern border is the most open it has been in at least 30 years, maybe all time, and this seems to be increasingly by design. In fact, we just have breaking today the following. This is from CBS. The Biden administration revoked Trump-era rules that allowed U.S. authorities to limit the number of asylum seekers who can be processed at official border crossings. Through a memo, Troy Miller, the interim head of U.S. Customs and Border Protection, rescinded several guidelines during the Trump administration that upheld the so-called metering practice at land ports of entry, restricting the number of migrants who could legally ask for humanitarian protection. How is this not just We're opening the floodgates even more? They're already open, but we're just going to make sure that the doors squeak even louder and even wider open.
Yeah, well, it's open already. It's almost impossible to open it anymore. But what they're doing with that processing, this the repealing of the Trump era metering, etc., they are effectuating de facto amnesty. That's what they're doing. So they're pouring literally hundreds of thousands of people here into this country illegally. They're not going to have them back in our court system, in the immigration court system. They're basically going to turn them loose into the country. We're going to transport them wherever they want to go. You're seeing it up in New York. You've got the school issues that you've got there. Other places around the country have school issues. They've got work issues. They've got drug issues. They've got all the issues attenuated that are attached to illegal migration. And so that's really what's happening is they're going to actually provide additional amnesty provisions.
This is something, the border failure, inflation, CRT in schools, all of this is leading to a mass migration, it appears, in particular, of suburban women into the Republican camp. Do you think that Nancy Pelosi, for instance, is going to see these results in 2021 and contemplate retirement even more seriously than before? You're in Congress. You also interact with senators. What kind of message do you think the 2021 results are sending in terms of who even runs for the Democratic Party in 2022 and what is always going to be a difficult midterm challenge? But we're talking about potentially a 1994 level red wave that right now looks like it could sweep over the Democratic Party across the entire nation.
Yeah, I think that Nancy Pelosi will probably retire. I'd be surprised if she didn't. But I also think she's going to be joined by a lot of long-term left-wing Democrats in our body as well. I think that you're going to see more retirements because not only do you have this what we saw last night in the elections, but also you've got the redistricting and all the dynamics of redistricting, and I think that's going to push some of them out as well. And then the fact is, and you guys are exactly right, when you start talking about suburban women and you speak generically, they didn't like the tone, perhaps, of President Trump. But one thing that they know is they're certain of now is they don't like the inflation, they don't like the high crime, and they don't like the unsafe borders of the Biden policy. And so they have to make a judgment whether they support the policies that Trump put in that gave them safety, gave them a stable economy, and basically allowed them to live their lives the way they wanted to live them. They didn't have to worry about the CRT stuff in schools. They get that choice, and I think it's a choice where they can say, well, we won't have Trump at least for a couple more years, no matter what. So I think they look at it that way. My own opinion is that Trump helped Youngkin substantially win in Virginia. But I mean, we're talking policies here that appeal to suburban women, and that's the limited focus that I give you that answer.
Congressman Andy Biggs, appreciate it, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks.
If we've learned anything since 2020, it's that there's nothing quite as important as a powerful immune system. Over 20 years ago, Dr. Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood. Texas Superfood is the original superfood. We met Dr. Black years ago, and he taught us that with 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes, you can build your body's defense from the inside out. We learned from Dr. Black, your immune system's job is to detect, deflect, and destroy bacteria you come in contact with, which is why Texas Superfood boosts your immune system better than anything on the market. Your grandma told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but with busy schedules and fast food out there, let's be honest, a lot of us don't do that. That's why you need Texas Superfood. It is the safety net for the American diet. Buck, how can people take advantage of this?
So easy. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. And you really need to do this, because if you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and veggies, Texas Superfood was made for you. Just go to this website, TexasSuperfood.com/Buck. That's TexasSuperfood.com/Buck. Or call this phone number, 855-TEXAS-55. Again, boost your immune system for under $2 a day. Call this number, 855-TEXAS-55.